Hello, sexy nerds of the Nerd Imperium. Welcome to this week's episode of the Currently Nerdy Podcast. We are your inner conclave of nerdom. My name is Diz, and I am your pop culture and sports nerd. Why'd you look at me like that?
Because I didn't know you were starting all over.
I said, yeah, we had to. The fucking audio screwed up.
Well, I'm Ali, your classic nerd.
Was I in a coma for 3 weeks, guys?
Oh, God damn it, okay. V. You son of a bitch. Doing it again.
Who are you, V?
My name, oh, you just said.
Who are you?
Spoiler alert.
Cat off his mic. I got no time for this shit this week.
I will allow it.
I'm V. I'm your comic book nerd.
Yes. What
V is referencing is the fact that we were gone for a week.
We were?
We disappeared.
Where'd we go?
We tweeted it out. We Facebooked it, right? We Facebooked it?
That's true.
Yeah. We mentioned that we would be away.
Yeah.
It was my fault. It's actually Diz's fault.
Yeah, this is true.
So we were supposed to, we usually record our podcast on an undetermined day of the week.
Tuesdays.
And for whatever reason, Diz had lost...
I lost my voice, all right.
He had some type of debilitating affliction.
So I did a lot of cocaine off of a stripper's butt, and when you do a lot of cocaine...
By which he means use it WWE.
It hits your vocal cords. Yeah, I went to WWE. I started yelling at John Cena and Roman Reigns, and I lost my voice.
So he lost his voice, though it didn't stop him from partying on Tuesday.
I didn't party on Tuesday.
Whatever.
I picked up somebody from the airport.
So, and then we were supposed to...
I heard you was partying.
Yeah.
He's making shit up.
That's what I read on the tweets, that you were partying too much.
Parties on a Tuesday.
And somehow you also lost your gag reflex when you lost your voice.
That's homophobic.
Yeah, I saw many a Snapchats.
What are you talking... You don't have a Snapchat.
They were screenshotted and sent to me.
You don't have a Snapchat.
This is lying. Look at him. Look where he is right now.
Shit. No, my friend posted an Instagram
spies everywhere.
Of a Snapchat I took months ago.
I have spies everywhere.
Go fuck yourself.
Little birds.
They told me your ass was out partying.
He's lying. We were supposed to record Thursday.
So I'm like, oh, so he didn't have a voice to record, but he had plenty of voice sitting there smoking his vape. Perfectly fine.
That's what it was. He saw a picture of me at my vape. Because I picked up my perfectly, friend from the airport.
Perfectly
That's
fine.
Even worse than you partying.
Perfectly fine.
Because I picked up somebody from the airport.
So anyways,
no, because you were vaping.
Anyways, horrible. As I was trying to explain before I was rudely interrupted, then we moved the date to another undetermined
Thursday.
Day. And suddenly something came up for me and I had to fly out.
He had to fly to Damascus. The Council of Shamshir called him.
You need it. First of all, I hate when you say that.
Right.
Shamshir is such an old person name. So anyways.
What's the Council of Shamshir?
Shamshir is an old name. It's like
just
a sword.
You just put council in front of it?
Put council. Shamshir is like, it's like great-grandparents are named Shamshir.
It means sword.
Oh my
no,
God.
Shir means sword.
No, Shir means lion.
Shamshir means sword. You're right. You're
yeah.
Right. It's been a long day.
But it translates.
But it's also.
Kendall lion.
Yeah, that doesn't actually mean that. Those are mispronounced. Those are completely wrong.
Sham means candle.
No, that's not how a Farsi works, but nice try.
Candle
anyways,
lion.
It's also an old person name.
It is.
Old people are named Shamshir.
Is it like the Council of Ricks from Rick and Morty?
I don't know what it was. Anyways, this is just decided for whatever reason that every time I travel, he's going to pick a random Middle Eastern country to accuse me of traveling to. And it's, you know...
I have a 35% chance of being right.
Okay, first of all, you're wrong.
Where'd you get this, the 35%?
The frustrating portion of it, though, is because
true.
I travel frequently enough, is that everyone else has started to believe him. So, like, someone actually takes me, like, which country are you at right now? I'm like, I'm in the United States, not actually in Syria. It's like, time zone-wise, I'm only a couple hours ahead of you. What is this, like... But people started believing his shit.
I saw that on Facebook, because he put Syria originally.
Yeah,
I think, and people really thought you were in Syria.
I'm like, what? I'm like, no.
Well, he could have been in Dearborn, Michigan. They have a big Arab population.
There's actually, in Michigan, there's an first Arab Muslim woman running for Congress.
There's a first Afghan Muslim woman.
There's a first Afghan Muslim woman that's running in Maryland.
Yeah.
I don't know if she's officially announced, though.
She's officially announced.
Has she is?
Yeah.
Maybe we'll get her on the podcast. Who knows? Yeah. Anyways. So I had to go, and now I'm back, and that's why our podcast is late. That was a very long...
Explanation for why.
It was an attempt at an explanation that got derailed like 9 different times by you.
The only person...
What are you on?
Cocaine?
Yeah.
The only person who didn't fail last week was V. We both failed our...
No, because we said Wednesday, but V couldn't do Wednesday because he had school.
That's not his fault.
It's true. Actually, I had an art history class where I saw... A fresco painting by Bernini of the Council of Shamshir.
Yeah, see, it's a thing.
School is a choice.
It's not a choice. You get your education Don't listen to this piece of shit who's against education.
Oh, I'm against education. I'm against education. Yeah, whatever. Now, while I was gone, there was some exciting news.
For you.
I have been bequeathed.
Bequeathed.
You can't say bequeathed.
It's bequeathed.
But Twitter has bequeathed upon me.
Yeah, it's a, not a f. Yeah,
it is. No, I thought it was bequeathed.
No. You fucking moron. TH, not F.
You also need your hearing check. Clearly from last Tuesday, not only did you develop laryngitis, but you also developed a hearing problem.
And lost your gag reflex. Yeah.
You son of a bitch.
So it was bequeathed. I was bequeathed. You know what? It was given to me. 280 characters on Twitter.
I feel like the world is a much worse place now.
Yeah, wait, it was 140 characters.
It was 140. They doubled it.
Okay, so they doubled it.
They doubled it.
How wow.
Is reflecting they, yeah. my importance on Twitter.
They're like, you know, we don't have enough of Ali's.
We need to give
opinions.
Him more.
Listen, I'm pretty sure.
And we need him with
200
more characters.
Look, let me just say, I have never been happier to use colons and semicolons and commas.
Right. Listen, right. he's gonna use punctuation with impunity. Like,
do me a favor, V. What? I want to debunk his little thing here. I want you to go on Twitter on your browser and see if you also have 280 characters.
I don't want
you to feel special.
He doesn't.
I don't think I have.
Go, no, not on your phone. I want you to go on your browser.
It's not everyone. It's only certain. They're only beta testing it. That's why. It's an algorithm. Anyways, the point is that I hated the 140 characters. And the reason I hated it is, as you both can attest, when I text, I generally text with punctuation.
Yes, you do.
I use commas. That's weird. It's like I do use text speak, like BRB, LOL, stuff like that. Yeah. But like I do have a weird habit of, I still use commas. Like,
yeah,
no one
so
uses,
do I.
I had to, like, you have, when you're tweeting and you're like 141, that comma goes.
Yeah, it goes.
Periods go.
Yeah.
Semicolons go.
You change your URs to
you. Yeah. Well, I've never done that one.
Yours to
I
UR.
Refuse.
Or
I refuse
TO
to
the number
I don't
two.
Do. I don't shorten things. I just get rid of. The only thing I shorten is between.
Oh, you just put BTW?
Yeah, BTWN.
Oh, that works.
Between. But so when I saw the 280, I'm like, yes. Commas are back. Grammar is a thing. And naturally, the very first thing I did is tweet out as much as the opening scroll of Star Wars as I could.
You would.
I did.
You would.
I couldn't help myself.
You're like one of the few people I know who actually tweet from your computer.
I tweet from my computer.
Yeah.
Because the tweet.
You're an old man.
I tweet from my computers because the tweets on my phone, my software isn't updated.
You're 3 years behind.
So I don't see any of the emojis properly.
At least on iOS 8.
I don't see the emojis properly. It also, the replies, they removed, like, it used to say, like, at so-and-so.
Mm-hmm.
That's now separate.
Yeah.
It doesn't count in your 140, or if you're special like me, 280. On my phone, it still does, because it's the old software. So I tweet from my phone very rarely.
Mm-hmm.
You can tell when I've tweeted from my phone, because it'll say at so-and-so. And then the other one, it doesn't.
I only have 140 characters.
Damn it. So
I will check my...
But the release of this 280 characters was a big controversy. Because everyone was sitting there. Twitter has not been doing well for a while.
No?
Right. No. Stock-wise, it doesn't do well.
What, because Donald Trump is on there all
the time? No, it's because people haven't invested in it. The idea was that Twitter was going to replace things, and it never did.
Like what?
It was stuff. Like, people thought it was going to replace Facebook, but then Facebook got smart and bought out
Instagram,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Facebook bought out Instagram. That's what it was. Thank you. Mm-hmm. I could from miles of my house. Switch my brain. What social media did they buy? Yeah, they bought out Instagram, and that saved Facebook, because Facebook was losing people to Twitter.
Probably. Makes sense.
And then people, because everyone's grandma was on Twitter. I mean, on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
But no one's grandma was on Twitter yet. So people, and then, but that didn't happen. Facebook survived and did really well. So Instagram never, I mean, not Instagram, Twitter, fuck, I'm getting all confused with these social medias. Twitter couldn't fully recover. The other thing is that Twitter has a cultural problem, and that is that Facebook, you can get in Facebook arguments with people, but you know who they are.
Yeah, that's true.
Because definitely. Of the anonymity of Twitter, Twitter is a really hostile place.
Yeah.
It's super hostile. So there's a particular person who's not a celebrity, but she's like a public figure, right?
Mm-hmm.
She was talking about during this 280 character debacle shit, how every time she tweets,
mm-hmm.
some troll will respond with her nudes, because her nudes were hacked.
That's horrible.
Now, in Twitter's policy, they've made a very clear one that people can't tweet your nudes out. They will shine. So she's reported these people, and guess what's happened to them?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Yeah, not surprised, motherfuckers.
And so there's a disconnect between the policy and the enforcement of the policy.
Uh-huh.
People threatening violence, people doing all sorts of things, right? Putting up violent images. And Twitter never does anything about it. So people are going, look, spare us the fucking 280 characters. We were fine with 140.
Yeah.
Why don't you fix your problem? One, stop verifying white supremacists. Get rid of the verification from Mike Cernovich, from Richard Spencer, these other people. Make verifies, or stop treating verified as like you're now a famous person, and instead treat it as you're a verified person.
Mm-hmm.
Like you are who you claim you are.
Mm. They have that on Bumble.
So whoever claim they are who they claim, they're verified. If you're anonymous, you're non-verified.
Yeah.
So you stop creating a tier, right? You see what I'm saying?
But they do that so like Twitter has that, can exactly, respond to
they
it.
Make money also.
Yeah.
The verified is a class-based system in some ways.
So those sons of bitches.
Yeah, it is. It's a caste system. Yeah. Unverified people are the untouchables.
Yeah, if you make your own verified like thing on like one of your pictures or something, they kick you off of Twitter.
Do they really?
Yeah.
So apparently if you do the verify, they kick you off, but you could say, you know, you could sexually harass someone, you'd be that's fine.
Okay. Just don't fucking copyright.
So this there was a big conspiracy between a lot of people on the right. They thought that Twitter was deleting people's tweets that were like hardcore conservative right. And that every time someone will make a mention of something stupid,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
They'd be like, oh, watch, Twitter's going to delete me from my special comments.
Well,
right?
They also talk about like, oh, they've shadow banned me.
What does that mean?
It's like, I'm not banned, but people can't find my tweets.
Fuck your tweets, cuz.
Or they claim like, oh, look, we've tweeted so much about this, but they're suppressing the trends. They're suppressing the trending. You know how it trends?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, so that's why it hasn't trended yet.
They're I think faking. It's, yeah, it's really, it's stupid.
Now look.
Hashtag fake news.
This is the stuff that annoys me, right? It's like, Twitter has a lot it can do to fix, but they didn't do it. They didn't approach it. And then I think for academics, the thing that frustrates us is like the attack on expertise, right? So like,
mm-hmm.
There's this famous classicist, Mary Beard. BBC released this cartoon,
mm-hmm.
An animation for kids.
Yeah.
And in it, one of the Legionnaires was brown, or yes. A person of color. And Mary Beard, who is the foremost expert in Roman history. She's a very famous classicist from Oxford. Her books, a lot of academics write books.
Uh-huh.
Very few academics write academic books that become bestsellers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Hers are academic books that become bestsellers.
Oh, shit.
And she's been on documentaries, all sorts of stuff. Like, her credentials are, like, you could criticize her for anything, not her credentials.
Yeah.
So she tweeted out very casually. People had this, like, were flipping out about this black guy in Rome, uh-huh. In this Roman cartoon. And she just tweeted out very casually, this depiction is accurate.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, her Twitter mentions got exploded. One of them was from Taleb Nassim. Fucking, that guy's an idiot.
Who's right? Taleb Nassim?
Nicholas Taleb Nassim is a, Nassim Taleb, I think, is a statistician from some university.
Uh-huh.
He's one of those pseudo-intellectual types. He wrote a very famous book called Black Swan, right?
The one that became a movie?
No, not the ballet. Oh. The statistical.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Oh, it sounds infinitely more interesting.
So he is, and when it comes to statistics, he's brilliant. But the problem is he's one of those people that is like, he thinks he's got his degree in statistics, so therefore he has something to say about everything. He like put up all these DNA charts and statistics about how she was wrong and they couldn't be right. People were like, "How? What do you know about Roman history?" I'm like, dude, just read her bio. Like literally in her Twitter handle, Mary Beard, Roman historian.
Yeah. I think it's funny too because people, whenever they're arguing with you, and they notice your description, they actually be like, I can't believe that you're a historian.
Yeah.
And then they laugh at you.
There's three responses to me generally, right? So the Mary Beard stuff was insane. And people do that all the time. Classes. Oh, you don't even speak Latin, I bet. And like, do you know who you're speaking to?
Yeah.
And people talk, academics are really frustrated. I know I've experienced it personally. My handle is very openly says I'm a historian.
Yeah.
I write Middle East, even says what my expertise are in religious violence, identity politics, etc. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And when I tweet something, they usually say, I can't believe you're an actual historian. You're so stupid. That's usually the one response.
That's how I feel sometimes.
The second one is like, you should go learn some history. Those are my favorite ones. I've got several of those. And I'm like, you didn't read who I am, do you? Right? Mm-hmm. You don't know. What do you know about Islam?
Yeah.
That's the second response.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just like, okay. And then the third and my favorite one is Takiyah.
Takiyah. They just scream Takiyah?
They just scream Takiyah, which is the...
Creeping Sharia.
Which is a completely misunderstood term, their way of accusing Muslims of not being honest, of hiding the true religion. And for those of you who don't know what it means, go listen to Head On History, Shameless Plug. You'll learn what Takiyah actually means, as well as why I know what I am.
See, now, imagine how good of a world you must live in, where the most nuanced and well-thought-out response... can be addressed by screaming out a word like you got fucking Tourette's syndrome.
My favorite, that is a kind of rough, vulgar description of a much broader phenomenon. Yeah. The idea that you could like somehow become an expert because you've read a couple books or because you think you know more.
I'm an expert on wrestling.
There's something about social media that's created like the Dunning-Kruger effect to like extreme lengths.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's levels of acceptability to it. So I've always said this about Sam Harris, right? Sam Harris is a new atheist who is actually a neurobiologist. He's a neuroscientist.
Okay.
Even there, the credential's a little iffy, right? But we'll give him it, right? He's only actually published one paper, but we'll give it to him. We'll go, okay. At least he actually legitimately has his PhD.
Mm-hmm.
But he claims a lot of... He very rarely talks about neuroscience. He talks about Islam, religion, Middle Eastern geopolitics, security policy, etc. He philosophizes. He falafelizes.
I had a Facebook memory yesterday where I was talking hella shit about Bill Maher, who's like good friends with Sam Harris.
Sam Harris. But we accept some of his expertise. People think that he's a smart guy. There's a lot of people that listen to his podcast. And let me tell you something. He may very well be a smart guy, but let me tell you, he's not an expert in those fields.
No.
He hasn't traveled to the Middle East. He doesn't speak in Middle Eastern languages. He doesn't work in the primary sources. He doesn't do any archival research. He doesn't look or attempt to contextualize its history. He doesn't understand culture. He doesn't understand how the finances and the economics may influence certain things. Like, these are things he does not grasp.
So he's fake woke.
I've spent 2 decades almost studying what I study. Right?
Damn.
2 decades. Decade professionally.
Uh-huh.
2 decades non-professionally. Studying what I study.
You started at 10.
Right. Yeah, I started my interest in 10, but professionally, 10 years.
Holy shit.
So 10 years to know what I know. And yet somehow the Sam Harris's of the world can set themselves up as the experts. And this is a problem, right? Is that we have now created this misinformation apparatus that if you want to have your opinion treated as expertise, you can find an audience for it. But if you want your expertise questioned, you'll have that as well. And I think this for me really experienced this, I think, in the kind of recent news is the mass shooting that happened in Las Vegas. So I'll give you context first, right? So over the weekend, there was a mass shooting considered to be one of the biggest in modern history. But that's only if you discount, the mass lynchings that have happened in this country.
Mm-hmm.
Right, let's just point that out.
Yeah.
Because there's so-called race riots that happened in the early 1900s, right after World War One, in which literally like black soldiers coming back from the war were lynched and shot and murdered. Whole like literally, we're talking about dozens and hundreds of people, right?
Yeah.
So if you discount that, as apparently the news media has, this was one of the largest in modern history mass shootings, mm-hmm. in which 58 to 60 people were killed. And over 200 people...
Over 500.
500 people were injured. Yeah. A guy who... Stephen Paddock went up to Mandalay Bay with multiple firearms. He had something called a stock bump, which is apparently a tool that allows you to turn a semi-automatic into an automatic.
Yeah, fully automatic.
Fully automatic. And he had like unlimited magazines. He blew out the window and he fired into a country music concert.
Yeah.
So that's the context to it. My frustration, the conversation about Twitter, I think, is all of a sudden you had the police come out and go, we know this, 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 and this. We still don't know this, this, and this.
Yeah, like there's no motive yet.
We don't know these things. And suddenly Twitter became a place for amateur sleuths. Everyone was a detective. Look, we found this. Look, we found that. 4chan in particular was horrific about this.
Mm-hmm.
They immediately jumped on this and said, we need to control this narrative. They went and researched. They found the guy's girlfriend.
She was
the Filipino.
Mary Lou.
Yeah.
Danley.
Yeah.
They found another guy who whose name was Danley, who may possibly have been related to this woman, maybe an ex-husband or something. Right? Mm-hmm. No one's sure. But because on his Facebook page he had liked certain liberal things, like George Soros or something, they immediately screenshotted it, circled it, and circulated his photo everywhere.
Uh-huh.
As a possible suspect. Dude was cleared, but he had his life completely turned upside down. He's not even remotely related to the shooting.
Yeah.
But because his name was kind of similar to hers.
Mm.
They had also circulated the photo of the wrong woman. They found photos of her in Dubai.
Uh-huh.
And going, oh, she's Muslim. She's clearly from a Muslim country. She went to Dubai. That's where they were radicalized. Not recognizing that her name is Mary Lou Danley from the Philippines.
Yeah.
The Philippines and Malaysia and Indonesia are different countries. I know that all brown Asians look the same to you white people.
Fucking racist.
They're not. The Philippines is a Catholic country.
Yes.
Mary Lou is a Catholic name. Mary Lou went to Dubai because guess what? A lot of people from the Philippines work in Dubai.
Yes.
A lot of people from Malaysia, Indonesia as well. But suddenly, Twitter and 4chan really was the worst at this, but Twitter became a place for creating your own narrative. And it was frustrating for me because I was like, you're not a fucking detective. Stop pretending like you are because you know how to Google a couple things or know how to do the catfish thing. What is it when the catfish people do it?
Reverse image search.
Reverse image search, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know how to do that, so maybe it's an impressive skill.
You literally just put it into Google. It's not impressive at all.
But these people act like they have these where I'm like, there are actual detectives on the case.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The FBI and the Las Vegas PD are dealing with this.
Yeah.
Chill the F out.
Yeah, I think it's a little messed up when you think about it because, you know, it's hard not to say without sounding insensitive, but the bodies weren't even cold yet, and people were already putting out like perceived truths onto what happened. Right.
Yeah.
It's really messed up because a legitimate investigation takes time.
Yeah.
It takes effort. It takes a team of people who have been trained in that field.
Yeah.
Right. But less than 24 hours later, on my Facebook feed alone, I had it's a false flag because they're trying to ban silencers.
Yeah.
It's what you were talking about connecting Mary Lou with, and like, you know, oh, he wired $100,000 this. And it's like, oh, well, I had a guy on my Facebook who's a friend of mine who is an LAPD officer who talked about how, oh, well, he was a leftist.
You should report that guy.
It's like it hasn't been a day yet
because that guy ends up killing people.
Yeah, yeah. But like I think it's crazy because it's all of a sudden our society goes, well, if I want some information, I can get it anytime I want. So they're willing to take false information.
Yeah.
Now, as opposed to information that's been vetted and that has been researched later.
That's always the narrative, though, right? Like, I mean, after Sandy Hook, right? What happened? People were putting out images of like this teacher who looked like somebody in Aurora.
Well, they've done this with this one too. Yeah. The Steve Paddock's photo, photo. They've compared it to a guy from Sandy Hook.
Yeah,
and then it's like they don't look like just two white guys.
But they do that because they come up with this narrative. So it's not just
Call crisis actors.
Yeah, it's not just Twitter and stuff, but this is spread out from like the top of these like fucking crazy. Like conspiracy people that don't believe that we're getting the true story. Like, all right.
Well, I want to think about it as more than conspiracy theory, though, because we've talked about conspiracy theory a lot on this podcast, right? Mm-hmm. But this is more than just conspiracy theory. This is about a complete and total breakdown of institutions of knowledge, right?
Yeah.
So, like, conspiracy theories have always existed. And in many ways, conspiracy theories relied on some ways of connecting that weren't possible until recently.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that you now have really big name people do it, right? This tells me that what's happening is there is a wider institutional crisis. I'm not saying you shouldn't question the media. Quite the opposite. I believe that you should constantly question media narratives.
Yeah.
Constantly, right? But there's a difference between questioning the media and going, all these journalists, different media groups that have completely different agendas, that have completely different interests, that aren't even remotely related to one another, are all going to get together and collectively agree to cover it up. That includes cameramen, producers, sound guys, camera anchor people, reporters on the ground, the editors, the writers, everyone. You see what I'm talking about? That all these people will collectively get together and they'll cover something up. Like, it shows a fundamental misunderstanding of what the media is, which is essentially a sensationalist apparatus. It's about to make money. It doesn't give a shit about anything else but making money.
Yeah.
You're telling me that an organization that is interested in ratings wouldn't want to be the first to break a scoop?
Yeah.
Something that they were able to uncover that other people weren't?
Yeah, especially as sensational as what these people
but
make.
But because they're liberals and don't like guns, they're all willing to cover it up?
Yeah, why is that always the case, though? Why is it always that, like, they're out to get your guns? That's the first thing that goes on.
Well, because I think for them, that ends up kind of, that's always going to be the case, right? Because anytime a gun is used to massacre 50 plus people, of course the question is, and the outrage, rightly so, should be, why is it that someone has access to this instrument of destruction without having proper vetting, without anyone kind of going, why do you even need to have this?
Look, I've said this over and over again on this podcast, right? When it comes to gun, and I don't want to beat a dead horse for me, myself, but when it comes to gun regulation, I'm for it.
Yeah.
In regards to, like, look, in order to drive a car, you need to take classes. You need to take an exam, which gets you a permit. You then get that permit for a short period of time before then you get another examination in which you actually drive with someone, demonstrate that you know the basic laws of safety, the rules of the road, etc., can handle a car. Then you get a license. Then you have to register your car and get insurance for the car. All that to drive.
Yes.
Which is more fundamental to the way of American life than anything else is.
And every few years you have to go and take
whereas
a test.
only about 10 to 20, depending on which statistics you look, 10% of the people roughly own guns in this country.
Uh-huh.
But they own all the guns.
Yeah.
So the overwhelming majority of Americans don't own guns.
But the people who do.
But the people that do refuse any form of, like, why shouldn't you have to take a test in order to handle a gun? To show that you know basic gun safety. Why shouldn't you have to get a license? I know there's license to carry, concealed carry license.
Yeah.
But you should have a license to just own a gun.
Yeah.
Right?
Do background checks.
Why don't we register those guns? Why don't we have universal background checks? Remove fucking gun conventions, right?
Yeah, the gun show.
Those gun shows, there's all sorts of loopholes there. You don't have to do universal background checks. Remove the capability of transferring guns across state lines, right? This solves the Chicago problem. 90% of the weapons in Chicago come from everywhere other than Chicago. This is what people don't
understand. It really lacks gun laws on the other states around it.
Yeah, so these are things that I've always been for, right? That's not the issue, and I agree with you in some regards. My frustration, though, is the coverage that has happened afterwards. And it's not just one side. On one end, you have the media who covers this like it's a game show.
Uh-huh.
Like it's a, so there was literally a dude who went up, I think he was NBC, if I'm not mistaken, who went up on one of the floors of the Mandalay Bay just to show us the angle that the guy was shooting. Well, I don't need to see that.
Yeah.
I don't need to, like, visualize the... Another CNN had graphics where, like, animation where they were, like, showing angles and zooming out and zooming. Like, it was like a football game. And I'm like, I don't need any of that.
Yeah.
Give me the fucking fact. And if you don't have it, there's something like this. Facts are still developing. This is a developing situation. We will report as we get it.
Yeah.
Go back to the regular stuff. Keep an emergency at the bottom. Right? Yeah. An ongoing byline. Don't do this, like, we don't know anything. We don't know anything, but we're going to sit here and speculate and do the. And then the police came in this way. I don't need to know that. This isn't a drama. This isn't a football game. It's not reality TV. Stop treating it that
way. Yeah, but that's you, though. Normal Americans,
yeah,
though,
I hate
aren't
that.
Like that.
That drives me nuts.
But then you see that in these shows also because, I mean, we already talked about the 24-hour news cycle and the problems that it brings up, right?
Mm-hmm.
What they also end up doing, too, which annoys me, is they bring on all these so-called experts.
Yeah.
To kind of sit there and basically jerk themselves off about how smart they are for 5 minutes at a time about, well, you know, well, this is the problem here, the policy, this, or these are the strategies that we've been, and, you know, it does nothing it really does nothing to further along the information that we as the public need.
No.
For the situation, right?
Informing the population is what's missing.
Yeah. So that's the then that in itself is the problem, right? You put on some schmuck who says that he's a, you know, like a firearms expert, mm-hmm. right? But it's like, I don't give a fuck what gun he used. I don't give a all I know is that 60-some-odd people are dead.
Yeah, we right? don't like, need opinion commentary on events like these. We don't.
Yeah.
But the worst is, like, I don't have issues with experts. I have issues with the fact that you put those experts on for 2 minutes and then you're expected to have a substantial conversation about that. You can't have a substantial conversation no. about that. And more importantly, what frustrates me about it is, like, this isn't something to have a debate on. This is something to report facts on. Get those facts out there. That's yeah. what's needed. And so there, as a result, there's this mistrust of media sources. So I don't mind that people question it. I'm frustrated that the media has, because they've enabled this mistrust because of the way they handle situations. But then it frustrates me that it goes beyond conspiracy thinking. That's one thing. Uh-huh. Conspiracy theories are a small group of people. But the fact that you have large populations of people who are willing to not necessarily build conspiracies, but willing to entertain at least a level of doubt that is, I think, dangerous. So you have someone like Shane Dawson tweeting out stuff like, oh, this doesn't make sense.
Uh-huh.
Not saying a conspiracy theory, like, oh, Mary Lou is secret Muslim and stuff like that, which in of itself, I should point out, how insane is it that white people need to convert to Islam in order to be violent? Like, these people, oh. He had to have been ISIS because white people don't go, you know, what about Dylan Roof, Robert Deere, right? What it's about true. These people?
Oh, just wait. I have something for that, too.
So, forget that. But the fact that you have someone like Shane Dawson, who has millions upon millions of followers,
mm-hmm.
who then goes, this doesn't make sense. There's something fishy going on. He's not a conspiracy theorist. He's not entertaining conspiracy, because conspiracy creates dots where none exist, yeah. right? Or takes an element of truth and stretches it beyond that. Uh-huh. Conspiracy theory are the people who go, this other Danley guy, he's related somehow. It's a secret cell of Islamists. Uh-huh. That's conspiracy theory. But the fact that people just put out an implication that we are being lied to, and then you have millions, literally 1,000 responses to it. Uh-huh. Yeah, you should do a video on this. Yeah, I'm not so sure. I don't trust this. Oh, this geez. Looks like a government cover-up. This looks like... And I'm going, so you're telling Shane Dawson, credentials in nothing, very talented guy, nothing against Shane Dawson, right?
Mm-hmm.
Probably a really decent dude who has zero expertise in other than dressing up and having some pretty stereotypical racist shit,
uh-huh.
you know, almost black-facing. Beyond that, it doesn't do much, right? Slight comedy, a little bit of spoofing of music videos. You want that guy to give you your news.
Yeah. The problem is, though, that's currently... I mean, that's what creates a success within that sphere now.
Of course. The people like Milo and Michael Cernovich, I've mentioned that these people are hucksters.
Yeah.
They don't believe what they're peddling, but they saw that there was a market for it.
Yeah, I mean, they knew. The other day I was on YouTube and I was watching, I think, Jenna Marbles and her boyfriend, whoever that guy is.
Yeah.
Right. And this is what kind of struck me about that. And I realized this kind of applies in the same situation with Shane Dawson, is that they got into a really bad car accident.
Yeah.
Right. And then they were vlogging about it, talking about it. Right. Jenna Marbles showing like she had a bunch of scars on her ribs mm-hmm. and stuff. What's crazy is that they actually showed footage. Their car is destroyed. They're both injured and hurt. One of them said they were unconscious in the car. And then they go to show video. It's literally them with their phone recording, once they were conscious, what was going on around the accident. Hmm. And it went, it's in their mind, their lives just got saved. They're in a situation where their health is in question, where their people could have died if there was others, you know, other people there. But their first thought was, I need to vlog about it. Like, they're thinking about That's vlogging crazy. About it in a situation where, if I'm getting shot at, if I'm having issues, or if I'm in deep trouble, if I'm hurt,
yeah,
I'm not going to think about, I'm not going to snap chat, yeah. or I'm not going to do these things, right? But that's the mindset now.
It's the society we live in, bro.
Right?
Yeah.
Voyeuristic.
So, like, even if, like, you have, Shane Dawson may not think these things, but somehow his cultural capital allows him to be like, I don't know so much about this, right? But then it plants these seeds in people who follow him. that ultimately, that, I think ultimately would be dangerous, right? That's how the dude in Comet Pizza ended up bringing a fucking gun.
Yeah, I mean, like, these people think that they because they have these platforms that they have the right to comment on everything. They don't. They do have the right. They don't have the expertise, and nor should they be entertained. But because there's such this mass distrust, because of this widespread, like, oh, something isn't right, that sense, mm-hmm. we now have enough people that are willing to listen to Shane Dawson. Why? And it shouldn't be. And for me, though, I think, and I think this is what I want to highlight, is that this emphasizes two disturbing phenomenons for me. One, and foremost, is the destabilizing of the institutions of truth-keeping, right? You have journalism. Uh-huh. You have the academy. These are two places where truth is dealt with. And that's not to say that there's a singular truth. We only have to listen to this.
Yeah.
Media has a multiplicity of truths. Academia has a multiplicity of truths. But what they do is they are gatekeepers mm-hmm. of information that is based off of expertise, research, gathering, investigation, etc. Investigative journalism, right? Mm-hmm. Those institutions have become so destabilized that people refuse to trust them. And as a result, now turn to anything that will confirm their own biases. That phenomenon is extraordinarily dangerous. What happened after the Las Vegas shooting? We should be alarmed by the deaths. We've talked about that a million times on this podcast. Yeah. Gun violence and the stuff that's going on, that is stuff that we need to address, without a doubt. But we also need to address the dangers of coverage, the response as a society, because that to me is also enduring. That's something that I don't know how to fix. When I have millennials that no longer trust people our generation, no longer trust CNN, but who turn to FusiTube to get information, that's scary.
Yeah.
That's frightening because those people become voters. Those people determine policy. Those people make decisions in their lives that impact the people around them.
Yeah. Well, we already see that with the Trump administration. Right? Yeah. These are the people, the Alex Joneses, and all. These are the people, these are the reason why guy like Trump is in office, is because we didn't realize that it was happening, but it was boiling under the surface.
Yeah,
you know, and let's face it, the YouTube culture hasn't been around for that long, but it hit.
And it's not YouTube culture, yeah, like that.
It's just internet culture.
It's new media culture.
Yeah, but it's like that. You know,
and it is internet culture is a good way to view it, because it is in many ways. And then we'll do a whole episode. Next week, we're going to talk actually very closely about this with Milo, because BuzzFeed just dropped something super explosive about Milo that connects Breitbart openly to white supremacists to the point where they're actually emailing one another back and forth. We've always talked about Breitbart as alt-right, but now we have clear evidence of Milo completely being in concert with these people, but more importantly, that it's all fabricated, that Milo was literally propped up by Bannon. There's emails that go, no, I don't want you to do this. I want you to act this way. These are fraud. So we'll talk about that and how that's related to internet culture and mm-hmm. and that. I think the second thing for me was, first was the destabilizing of traditional institutions of truth-keeping. The second thing that comes out of this for me is that this idea that why people go, oh, this can't be possible. This man has to have had some type of foreign connection, etc. It's refusing to acknowledge the truth of American character. We refuse to acknowledge how we are as a society. Look, we have to face the fact that America has a violent culture.
Uh-huh.
I mean, let's really look at this. We're told as young boys, and I want to use boys very specifically here.
Yeah.
Right? Because mass shooters are all male, practically.
Pretty much,
right? Yeah. And this is emphasized, just to emphasize, this was a fantastic tweet. I forgot who it was, I'll credit later, who said the whole discourse about mental illness, that these people who do mass shootings are mentally ill, mm-hmm. right? She goes, and the men are diagnosed with mental illness, but none of them end up being mass shooters.
Yeah.
That's a really good point.
But it's funny that you bring up mental illness, right? Because what's afforded to this guy, right? Like what was after they try to find some ISIS ties to him,
yeah,
right? What was afforded to him? He's a lone gunman, mentally ill man, right? Yeah. Anytime we see a shooting in this country, when it's done by a white male, they get the privilege of being called mentally ill, or there's no motive behind it other than, you know, like they don't get called a terrorist. Dylann Roof literally said that he shot these people because they were black.
Yeah.
That's political intent.
Yeah.
Right? Did he get charged with terrorism?
No, he didn't.
No. Right? Robert Deere, who shoots up an abortion
was clinic. Was not charged with...
No.
But I would argue that the Steve Paddock, we don't know if it's terrorism.
But here's the thing, though.
I know that people have really been pushing that it's terrorism. Terrorism is a very specific meaning.
You need some political motivation.
But here's the difference, though, right? Let's say that that was me, right? I have no ties to ISIS. I have no ties to anything. But if it was me or someone who looked like me, who just went fucking ballistic.
There's an assumption of your intent.
There's an assumption of my... You're right. Yeah. Even though, like... I don't consider myself a practicing Muslim, right?
But, well, I mean, there's a reason for that. When you cite something as terrorism, you immediately suspend due process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. So that makes sense. That makes a lot more sense.
There's like a literal legal reason to do it. When you claim something as terrorism, you suspend due process.
Yeah.
Terrorists don't have due process. They don't have a certain level of rights. But when you don't say terrorism for white people, what you're doing is you're preserving their rights.
Uh-huh.
Even if they've committed mass murder, they have a certain level of rights, and that is due process, an investigation, etc. With brown people, that's not the case. You say terrorism, even if there's no political intent, there's no any connection or affiliation or whatnot, but you immediately assume that there is. Therefore, you can say, "Oh, terrorist," and when you do that, you've now suspended their rights. You can do what you want with them.
Yeah, I mean, but it's bullshit that like that. You only get that privilege or not if you're...
There is a whole shit ton of privilege. I think I mentioned that also in regards to the fact that he had to have converted for people.
Yeah.
But this comes back to what my second point was trying to be, is that America is a violent culture, and we haven't tackled that. Look, as boys, we're told not to cry, not to show emotion, to be tough, that if you're bullied, to punch back and to fight for what you believe in, We play violent sports, things like football, where competition is prize. We teach little kids to box and fight, right? We play violent video games. We watch violent TV. WWE is a common... no offense to you, you idiot. But WWE is a common experience for fathers and sons and young boys and older cousins and younger cousins and nephews and uncles and all and generally generational. It's not just young kids, it's generationally passed on.
Yeah, like, I mean, for me, like, when I was a kid, right, my cousin, or my older cousin would watch, like, karate
movies
and
stuff for
me, right?
You're going to watch wrestling with your child.
Probably. Yes?
You see what I'm saying? We watch that. We play video games where we're first-person shooting.
Yeah.
We're shooting people, and then we win prizes for killing people.
Yeah, Call of Duty.
As if killing. I want you to think about it. Remove yourself from the American mindset. Think of it as if you were an alien coming down to Earth. And you saw kids playing a game in which they simulated. It's a game. I get it. It's supposed to be fun. But we're literally saying fun and game equals simulating murdering someone.
Yeah.
Whatever the justification. Or we tell them that they should practice being soldiers because they play Battlefield or Call of Duty or whatnot. We watch violent TV shows where blood and murder and whatever is shown on TV, but don't you dare show a tit.
Don't
you dare show a boob, because boobs are bad, but killing people is okay. We valorize people who die violently. We had several American troops that just died in the Niger. We're all hoping to God that someone teaches Donald Trump how to pronounce that properly before he addresses it. Right? So we had several troops that were just killed in the Niger, and people went, they died heroically fighting for our freedoms. I did not know that our freedoms were in the Niger. Did you?
No.
Did you?
I didn't even know we were in
the Niger. I didn't even know we were in the Niger. Like, I went, really? That's news to me.
Yeah.
So, we valorize them because they're not soldiers. They're heroes.
Yeah.
They're heroes that died for us. We've invaded half a dozen Middle Eastern countries, but somehow we're interested in more war. There's a significant number of the population that is cheerleading war with North Korea.
Yeah.
Guns don't kill people, we are told. People kill people. Nukes don't kill people, but people kill people, right? Yet somehow we think of these things as we need to have nukes, right?
Yes.
Now, that doesn't mean that doesn't mean all of these things make us inherently violent, that we are going to go out and shoot and kill people. The overwhelming majority of Americans are peaceful people. But it does make make us accept one fundamental truth that is at the core of Americanness. That there is some things, some violent acts that are good.
That's
when
true.
Police shoot someone, it is a good act. When soldiers kill the enemy, that is a good act. When Osama bin Laden is killed, this is an event to cheer. We think of some violence as good. And it's embedded in our society and culture. And in my belief, if we don't address these two components, the destabilizing of institutions of knowledge and truth, and this violent valorization in American society, the winning of the frontier, the Revolutionary War. Think about it.
Yeah.
Our very foundation, we celebrate as what? A war. One of the bloodiest wars in world history.
And also our myth behind Washington, he's violently cutting down a cherry tree.
Yeah. Yeah. These two things, if we don't address them, I think that we're at a moment of crisis in this country.
So how do you propose to take down the governmental institution of world star hip-hop?
What? Yeah, I don't know how to do it. Everything's being world star. World star!
I know.
Why do you blame a world star for this?
World star is the worst.
He's blaming the blacks.
It's not just black. Everyone
seriously,
uses
world star.
World star was... It's world star hip-hop.
The thing is, though, hip-hop does not necessarily mean
listen,
black.
Listen, man, world star hip-hop was a website
you weren't
created.
Paying attention to Noor's class yeah. about the diversity of hip-hop. Though listen, it is embedded in black culture.
Yeah,
it's true, but still, though. You know, why would you exclude the Beastie Boys?
How dare you?
You're such a bitch ass.
Why don't you like
Beastie Boys? See, look, why did you change?
In fun news, I should just mention that I'm
Beastie Boys.
My professor was
the Beastie Boys.
Was teaching a class, and he started his class off by literally playing hijabi heavy metal.
What?
These Indonesian girls, little girls with hijabs that play heavy metal rock.
Oh, I've seen them before. Yeah, they're really talented.
Yeah, they're really talented. They received like death threats and stuff like that.
Well, it's the same as the Japanese death baby metal.
Yeah, baby
like
metal.
Like the Japanese death metal group, or like the girls, they're like 90 pounds.
But they're playing death metal.
Yeah, they're playing death metal.
It's called baby metal, but it's a little bit lighter than death metal.
Yeah, it's but
it's a form of metal.
Because there's like 35,000 different subgenres of metal.
Yeah, right? there's screamo, there's
listen
death
to
metal.
Any fucking... like Chris Jericho podcast where he's talking about music and there's like
you end up having some Norwegian guy fucking Varg Vikernes shooting people and stuff shooting himself.
We should mention nerd news now that we've gotten all depressed and dark.
New season of Lucifer
but also the new season of that just premiered a new show on Fox, Gifted, which is their attempt at doing X-Men. There have been many attempts to do X-Men on TV.
That is true.
Some of which were just derivative. We were, before the podcast, V and I were chatting about a TV show that, while we were growing up, was quite popular, but like really shortly, and then it died out. It was called Mutant X. And both, I assumed, I was trying to explain this to V, and I was like, oh, yeah, it was like an attempt to do the X-Men, but they were all adults.
I don't remember this.
Yeah, you look it up. Anyways,
early 2000s.
It turns out that it wasn't an attempt to do X-Men. It was a derivative.
It was literally a rip-off
of the X-Men. Oh. It was an adults, but they had like there was genetic testing done on them, and it ended up with mutant powers.
Okay,
basically X-Men.
Uh-huh.
So
without being born with it,
Gifted came out, and I was really impressed with it.
I enjoyed it. I really liked it a lot.
Was it better? Did you guys watch Legion?
No,
I never got. I heard Legion is crazy.
Yeah, it tripped me out.
I need to
watch
it.
Is Legion based off of the...
It's based off of Legion.
Yeah.
Like the
schizophrenia. Oh, Legion, the X-Men Legion. Yeah, yeah, I was thinking
like
Legion,
son.
The Angels Legion one.
No.
I heard that was good. The dude from Downton Abbey.
Is he?
Yeah.
Yeah, I noticed a lot of British actors. Even in The Gifted, like the character with the light, he's actually from... I remember him from Skins.
British actors do really well over here.
Is it worth me watching?
So I,
it's only one episode right now.
It's only one episode, yeah. Okay. The thing I enjoy about it, but I like the premise. And this is what I've always liked about X-Men in particular. X-Men has always been timely.
Mm-hmm.
What I enjoyed, and this pushes back on some regards in what comic book movies and shows sometimes do. When you look at something like Avengers is really just showcasing power and big cinematic scenes and sensationalism, right? These kind of massive...
Yeah. The power of the graphics department.
Yeah. Whereas when you look at Gifted, they have powers. But what they're centralizing is family dynamic.
Yeah.
It's drama. It's interpersonal relationships. And I appreciate that. There's also a level of realism to it. Because it's, I call it slightly dystopian. Do you know what I mean by that? In that it's real enough that we're like, oh, that's our world. But like set maybe 5 years in the future, not 100 years, not 30 years.
Because it's like there's not like this like crazy technology. Yeah. There's like there's crazy technology, but it's not like to the point where it's an like unrecognizable society.
Yeah. So like it's not Star Wars looking.
Okay.
It's not Star Trek. It's like 3 years into our future. It's like reasonable technology.
Yeah.
So but it looks recognizable. So the reason I call it slight dystopian is like, yeah, it's got technology, but like they've also done really shitty shit.
Yeah.
Right. We're like, mutants are they're not banned, but mutants aren't allowed to use their powers.
Yeah, and they mentioned about testing for the X gene and everything, right. And like
so it's like it's our world, but like we're on the edge of becoming them.
Yeah, and then they also did this interesting thing with like the Sentinels. They're not like the Sentinels, like the giant robots.
Uh-huh.
It's like the Sentinel Squad, or I don't remember what the actual something. But it's like just like an it's like a its own. It's like the FBI or the, it's like a separate government branch that specifically goes after people who use their powers.
Yeah, that's a pretty cool take on it.
It is. What's particularly fascinating though about it is like it fits really timely to what's going on politically right now.
Yeah.
So like we're on the edge. We haven't given in to that type of fear yet, but we're kind of on the edge of it.
Uh-huh.
Whereas in this world, they've given in to it.
Uh-huh. Right,
mutants are a threat, and this is something that I've always appreciated about the X-Men. Is the X-Men is certainly in when it was written as a metaphor of the civil rights movement.
Yeah,
but it's also moved to the metaphor of gay liberation.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, literally, the term "in the closet" and "coming out of the closet" are used for mutants.
Yeah,
coming out of the mutant closet is a very like that is the gay liberation movement. But it's also very timely for our fear of Muslims, mm-hmm. our fear of immigrants, our fear of Mexicans in particular, right? This gifted, and this is what I appreciate about it, is that it's attempting to do what the comic books can do, but the TV shows have failed to do. I think in some regards, the other X-Men series have failed, not just the TV shows, but also the movies,
uh-huh.
really highlighting this component. We saw some of it in the third one, but it was so badly done. Mm. X-Men Last Stand or whatever it was so badly done with like, and like we saw Rogue go and get the like the she wanted to get the shot,
yeah.
But like they didn't really explore the discrimination component of it. It was really badly done. We saw a little bit of it in X-Men First Class.
Yeah,
the cartoon.
No.
Not the cartoon. The one that basically negated.
Yeah.
The pre one and the,
Yeah. First Class. Saw it a little bit. This one, I think, centers it. And that's part of the plight, because in this world, the X-Men don't exist.
Mm-hmm.
They existed, but they've disappeared. Right.
Okay.
They've disappeared.
And so, all the big mutants. So, they mentioned the Brotherhood. The Brotherhood's gone, too.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, I think...
One of the characters in the show is actually Magneto's daughter.
Yeah, Polaris.
It's Polaris.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
She's there. Yeah. Right. So, like, they're not shying away from this being X-Men.
Uh-huh.
But it's not about the X-Men. These are crime fighters. This was the failing, I think, also of the comic books. The comic books is about what? Crime fighting.
Yeah. Right?
Uh-huh. Or saving the world. Mutants using their powers for good. These people aren't superheroes.
No.
At least not now. Maybe the show will take a different... These people are trying to survive.
Okay.
And this has always been kind of the thing that makes X-Men unique. And I've mentioned this. In a lot of other comic book series... Their powers are what make them special.
Mm-hmm.
Spider-Man is bitten and he becomes powerful.
Yeah.
Thor is a god. Tony Stark's intelligence makes him Iron Man. They become heroes because of their powers.
Mm-hmm.
X-Men is the only series where they are persecuted for their powers.
Yeah, it's a different dynamic.
It's a different dynamic. Yeah. Who they are as a person, their genetic component.
Yeah, they're not valorized.
They're treated as outcasts for us, bad people as persecutor, right? The purifier, all of that. That's all about. And this goes right to racial relations, LGBT issues, immigrants, black people, Muslims, minorities in general as a metaphor. I've always appreciated that component about the X-Men.
Yeah, it's
and the Gifted seems to centralize this, put it front and center.
Well, you look at it an interesting way, too, is like when you notice... Even within the own Marvel Universe, you look at a team like the Fantastic Four, the Avengers, right? Mm-hmm. They're actually literally living in with quote-unquote Homo sapiens or like regular people, right? Uh-huh. Whereas almost every mutant faction is separated off to like an island or they're living in like a sewer. Like
the Morlocks. They're in hiding,
right? So they literally, like people don't notice this, but they're literally separated from Homo sapiens.
Yeah, like even Xavier's school is like out there in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah,
yeah.
In this, New York. I think we should compare this to Lucifer because Lucifer has just come out also.
I like it.
You like the Lucifer series. V is actually a Lucifer fanatic. The
comic
books. The comic books, not the show.
Yeah. So Mike Carey's take on this.
And I've told him not to watch the show because he'd hate it. Because it's an example of how to do a comic book series wrong. First of all, I think Lucifer is one of the worst series that's ever been made.
Why? It's just a detective show.
It sucks because it literally has no awareness of where it exists in space and time. So what happens is it's kind of schizophrenic. It doesn't know what it wants. On one hand, you have this story arc of a forced chemistry. You go, okay, that's one story arc. Can't decide whether we're going to follow that. So we're going to be a cop procedural show. Well, it's not exactly a cop procedural show.
Sounds horrible.
So we're going to do supernatural and fantasy. Except it's not really supernatural or fantasy. So what the F is it? It doesn't look... I'll give you an example of it. And obviously spoilers, right? Like the beginning of this series, it starts off with the idea of Lucifer genuinely wanting to punish bad people.
Yeah.
And Chloe... Uh-huh. Trying to find out who he really is.
Kind of, yeah.
He pushes someone through a window. She's like, well, where does he... They completely drop that.
Yeah.
By the end of, like, episode 6, she's not bothering to find out who he is.
Yeah.
It's just, okay, he can somehow do all these magical things. We're just going to assume it's part of who he is. Then they introduce this whole, like, oh, he punishes bad people. Mm-hmm. It doesn't always work all the time. Yeah. In fact... Then okay, so it's a cop procedural, except that they don't show the investigation or the cop procedure as center stage. It's a backdrop to just him making witty remarks.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not that. So let's center the supernatural and the fantasy component. Mommy comes along.
Mm-hmm.
There's a whole story arc. What's going on there? Mommy's up to something. She wants to get back at Daddy, God and Goddess, right?
Mm-hmm.
All it ends with what?
Him.
He just creates a separate universe for her.
Yeah.
Do you see what I'm saying? This is a series that doesn't know what it wants because it doesn't understand the spirit of the comic book.
I still enjoy it.
You can remake things. You can reimagine things. You can have your own take on it. The Mazikeen in this show, we'll say, is a take because that's not the Mazikeen that V describes. This Mazikeen is just your typical stereotypical tough girl.
Yeah.
She drinks and has sex and fights people. She likes to beat people up.
Yeah.
She's kind of loud. Different, right? She's abrasive. Whereas the Mazikeen in the comic series is silent, right? Or mostly silent.
I mean, she's silent. I mean, she's, you know, there's also, she's a brilliant tactician. She's a leader of warriors.
And disfigured.
And disfigured as well. Yeah. Yeah. And then she's also, she's very staunch in her views. Yeah. And she's also who she is. Like, she doesn't question who she is really in the
whereas comic this one book. She tries to be human.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. This is a demon. The fact that she's a demon is placed on the back burner to her being Chloe's roommate.
In the last season, yeah.
Yeah, but you know what I'm saying? This is a woman that is a demon.
Yeah. I still enjoy the show, damn
it. I'm not saying you shouldn't enjoy the show, but this is a show that's done badly. So from a narrative perspective, it's done badly because it's like it can't figure out what it wants to do.
Yeah, well,
that's the narrative. But it's also bad because it doesn't understand the spirit of the comic books, whereas I think Gifted does. Not only does it understand the spirit of the comic books, but then it modernizes. It goes, okay, we talked about civil rights, gay liberation. How do we make a show that captures that spirit, but in 2017?
Yeah, I think... I don't know if this is intentional, but with the Strucker twins, the children, right? They're in comic books, but they're called the Fenris twins.
Yeah.
What's interesting though is that because X-Men is owned by Fox.
Yeah.
Yes.
They can't use because they're in the comic books. The Marvel, you know, they're genetically engineered twins.
Yeah.
Right. So they're not mutants, and they're also like they're bad guys technically, like white supremacists and this and that. So Fox decided to switch it, turn them into protagonists who are mutants, which I think it's interesting because of all the characters they could have plucked from the Marvel, they chose the ones that are like purists and who are genetically engineered and who aren't mutants, who are bad, and turned them into this good family-oriented brother and sister who are trying to identify where they fit in the world. Like, it's just like a weird... It's like turning the characters on their head And I'm not sure if that was like symbolically supposed to mean something for them, because they could have chose anyone, or they could have made up anyone. It wouldn't have made a difference, really. So I'm kind of wondering if there was a little bit more behind that.
Fox's ownership of mutants and X-Men is actually one of the reasons why Marvel has been trying to push the Inhumans for
a while. Yeah,
yeah. Because Inhumans was meant to be a replacement.
It was supposed to be a movie.
Well, it was originally made a movie and then a show, but Inhumans, also the comic series, right, has always been, they've been trying to push Inhumans kind of over the X-Men as an attempt to replace. There's been a massive backlash by fans because like X-Men rules, right? They've even battled it out, Mutants versus
Well, even Inhumans. In the comic books, the Turingian gas or whatever it is, right? Like, it's like they culled a lot of the big names from the actual story.
So the Marvel's really been pushing Inhumans, but Inhumans isn't doing as well. Mm-hmm. Whereas I think one of the reasons why Gifted received such good praise for its beginning is because it understands the role of comic books in modern society and comic book movies and whatnot. And maybe we're just excited and it'll end up not being that in any way, shape, or form. Maybe it'll be a shitty-ass show
eventually. We're only one episode in, you know?
Only one episode. But from the framing of it, what they're doing is they're understanding that art acts as a form of reflection of real life. If there's an element of realism, there's a inherent critique there, an implicit critique there. Whereas I think shows like Lucifer and Inhumans both miss that, the mark on that. Lucifer doesn't understand where its role is. Okay, if you're going to do a police procedural like Law and Order, Law and Order brings in things that are pertinent and realistic and reasonable, and you understand that you have a sort of visceral reaction to Law and Order. Why? Because these are cases that happen in the real world. Mm. Fictionalized,
but it's a comedy drama.
I understand it's a comedy drama, but it misses something. And I think it's missing. You can do comedy drama, but it's missing something, especially with a character like Lucifer, whose greatest power is what?
Truth.
Truth. Mm-hmm. Imagine if he was witty and funny, but he always told the truth. Or he said stuff that was a bit too truthful.
Yeah.
Right? That's what he does here.
He can't lie. No, he doesn't. He may not lie, but his truth is very stupid shit. Like, he won't lie about how many partners he's had. He won't lie about if he's masturbated or not.
Okay.
I'd much rather him say something so truthful, you're like,
he doesn't lie about being the devil.
You go, that hit a little too close to home.
Yeah.
But something about our government, something about our society, something about us, the nature of humanity, that makes us go, ooh, they had a real potential by deciding that they're going to make a show about Lucifer. Instead, what did they do? They made him a playboy.
Yeah.
That has a British accent and tight suits.
I think what annoys me about that, I mean, I haven't watched it because you told me not to, but I think what part of the charm about Lucifer from the comic books, about the Morningstar in the comic books, is the fact that, you know, he's a melancholy person. He does not smile. He doesn't enjoy it. He just simply is, and his truth is his greatest weapon. But he also understands that because he's a cosmic being, that planting a seed at one point will ultimately flower 10 steps, 20 steps down the line. Mm-hmm. That type of brilliance is something that I think embodies what a character of that stature and magnitude should do. Right? When you're in charge of moving the universe forward, what does it, you know, flying off the handle should never be something that
ever. Well, he flies off of the handle all the time. In fact, he's probably the whiniest character on TV right now.
See, that doesn't make sense.
He's literally crying all the time. He's literally, and his anger is constantly angry. And it's, to be honest, it's not an intimidating anger.
Yeah. I don't understand.
They're trying to do this whole anger angle that he's like, his anger is so intimidating, his face turns into like a devil.
Yeah.
And they completely butchered it because it ends up being really silly. We should make one final nerd mention before we end the podcast. I think that was a good conversation about Gifted versus Lucifer and the difference between understanding the spirit of the comics and making it contemporary. We should mention that Good Omen has brought on some really great actors. Good Omen is Terry Pratchett's book.
And Neil Gaiman.
And Neil Gaiman's, and that is now being made into an Amazon special, streaming special.
Yeah.
They've brought on Michael Sheen, who's going to play a character. Michael Sheen, yeah.
Martin Sheen?
Michael Sheen. He played Aro in Twilight, the vampire. He played...
is he the one that you said that, like, he did the weird giggle?
He did the weird giggle. Brilliantly decided on his part, right?
Yeah.
He also plays... he was also in Frost Nixon.
I know who you're talking about.
He also played... what's his name? Tony Blair in its biopic, The Queen. Mm-hmm. You didn't, now you know who I'm talking about?
I knew who you were talking about. Okay. After you
said, Michael Sheen. The giggle. Whatever. Michael Sheen is on. He's been brought on as well as David Tennant, who's going to be playing Crowley. In fact,
do you think that maybe the way that they're playing Lucifer in the show Lucifer would make a better Crowley than it would actually like a Lucifer?
Yeah, it'd make it way better. The Lucifer like character is completely bullshit in the show.
Okay.
So, anyways, we're going to end it there. Diz, let us know what you think. Honestly,
I just found out something. One more thing.
Yeah.
They're saying there's a rumor that Daniel Craig might come on as Nathaniel Essex, Mr. Sinister, in the Gambit movie.
Yeah. So let us know what you think. Do you agree with our take on Gifted versus Lucifer? Do you think that's the role of comic books? Or do you just want that kind of fun romp that Lucifer is, even if it's not true to the comic books? Do you prefer that? Or do you prefer something that may be different and updated but really captures the spirit like Gifted? Let us also know what you think about our critique about this kind of Las Vegas shooting. We've already talked gun control to death. Okay. What do you think about our fears about, or at least my fears are about the kind of role our society plays in this? And Diz is going to let you know how you can get in contact with us.
Yeah, we're on Facebook, facebook.com/currentlynerdy. We're on Twitter @currentlynerdy. We're on the Instagram, currentlynerdy. We're on Tumblr, currentlynerdy.tumblr.com. We're on Stitcher, iTunes, and Google Play. Leave us a 5-star rating, subscribe. We're also on YouTube. Search Currently Nerdy on there. And if you want to get a hold of us individually, you can. V, how can I get a hold of you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at VTran214. That's VYTRAN214. You can find me on my website at thesandwichslayer.com. Ali?
You can catch me on my website at AliAlomi.com or on Instagram and Twitter at AAOLOMI. Twitter, I do all my kind of political ramblings, but Instagram, you kind of get the behind the scenes of how a historian looks. I actually just put up a couple photos that my students are going to be analyzing for class, so we're using a fun hashtag on Instagram. You can also catch me on our sister podcast, Head on History. Just search Head on History on iTunes or Stitcher Radio. Diz.
You can find me everywhere in the world at DIZBULLAH.
For everyone here at Currently Nerdy, thank you for tuning in. And remember, stay smart, sexy nerds.
And we love you, even if you hate on Lucifer and think the gift is better.